As a business and leadership mentor, wife, and mom, I know that building a legacy business as a high-performing female entrepreneur can be overwhelming when you play many demanding roles in your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be a powerful, high performer in your career, plus enjoy a fulfilling marriage and be a great mom all at the same time. Join me and my guests every week to get the inside scoop on what it really looks like to build a high growth business while living a life truly aligned with your family and personal values. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of the Built to Last Show. I am your host, Megan Huber, group coaching expert, where we help you scale your marketing, sales, and group coaching program delivery so that you are not constantly burned out. You do not have a drama-filled group coaching program, and you have an opportunity to really create a lot of wealth for yourself and more free time to do the things that you truly love to do in the world. Now, one of the biggest fears that coaches and consultants have when they're transitioning from one-on-one to a group is, how on earth am I going to ensure that my group coaching clients are getting the same high caliber results that I'm able to deliver to my one-on-one coaching clients? Is that a question that you have ever wondered? Because look, the truth is, as long as we are doing one-on-one delivery, you know, if you're a consultant, you might even be doing some done for you delivery. It's very labor intensive. If you're a one-on-one coach, you may have a full roster, 10, 15, 20, maybe even 25 or 30 clients a month, which means you are delivering, you are in delivery mode that many hours every single week if you are offering your coaching clients a weekly 60-minute coaching session, which means you have very little, if any, time or bandwidth left over to continue to market your services on a daily basis and host sales conversations and close sales calls. You might actually be so maxed out, you get to a point working with one-on-one clients that you can't even continue to market and sell. And then all of a sudden, some of your clients are not renewing, which is totally fine with one-on-one coaching. And you've got to go right back out there. You kind of have to ramp up your marketing all over again. You have to ramp up the sales all over again. And you start to realize your income is not going to continue to climb because it can't. You are capped. Your income potential is capped. Your ability to impact more people is capped. And there's a big fear that you're going to be more burned out with group. How are you going to continue to get clients incredible results? And is the quality of your coaching going to decline? We see the same fear with people who have existing group coaching clients where they are getting burned out. They are exhausted. There's a lot of drama going on inside the group coaching, and it's very, very stressful. And because of that, we see a lot of coaches who end up closing up shop. They end up closing the doors to their group coaching program and they go back to a different business model. And oftentimes they go back to one-on-one coaching or consulting. Look, if you've been around for any amount of time with me, or if you know me personally, or maybe you've been a past client of mine, the exact same thing happened to me. I am no stranger to working with, teaching, leading, and facilitating groups. In fact, my first career in my 20s was a high school teacher. I was a high school business education teacher, taught at the high school I graduated from. At the same time I was teaching, I was also a teacher in the online classroom for North Carolina Virtual Public Schools, where I would work with 90 students across three classes I was teaching. So I basically had two full-time jobs, one in person, one online. So no stranger to what it takes and what is required to get students results. I have also been the director of client success for a very large-scale coaching company where we were delivering to 500-600 clients at a time across 4 or 5 different group coaching programs and courses. And I have also been growing my own coaching business since 2017, where I have had signature group coaching programs have launched and, you know, have served a lot of clients at one time across multiple group coaching programs. Now, one of the reasons why I ended up closing down my groups, this was about 3 years ago, is because I wasn't following my own framework. Honestly, like, let's just keep it real. I was not following my own mastery, my own knowledge and expertise in group coaching and facilitating adult learners. I wasn't doing it the right way. And ultimately, it got the best of me. And at the time, I just couldn't quite figure out how to pivot because I had felt like kind of dug myself into a bit of a mindset hole, if you will. So I had plenty of clients in my programs. We were doing six-figure launches over and over again. Clients were getting incredible results. I even had clients who were having bigger launches than I was having. I was teaching them the same methodology that I was executing. And I love it. I love it when clients grow faster than I grew. I love it when clients are doing even better than I do. Isn't that the goal? Isn't the goal that our clients are surpassing us, right? Like, why are we doing it if our clients aren't surpassing us? But what was happening is I was allowing too many people into my programs who were probably not quite the most ideal fit, that just needed way too much basic training that wasn't originally part of my program. So that was one thing that was happening. I had a curriculum, but I had kind of put together more of a, I wouldn't call it a hodgepodge of curriculum. It just wasn't quite organized in a way that it needed to be organized, where clients were guided on do this first, do this second, do this third, do this fourth. There was incredible high-level training in there. Nobody ever complained. I don't think I ever had a complaint about this is too much, or it's not organized, or it's not orderly, but I knew that it really wasn't. I was hosting at one time in one of my group programs, I was hosting a call 5 days a week. Now, I had three other experts and coaches who were helping me deliver that. So I was only delivering two calls a week. But when I was delivering calls, it was the client success and results were very reliant on them being able to ask me their questions and having access to my brain. Now, when we are working with clients in a one-on-one setting, they do have access to your brain. You're not really giving a one-on-one client a curriculum to follow. You are not giving them a training portal where they're watching a bunch of videos and then executing. You're showing up to the call. Now, you can have a coaching framework that you're walking people through, for sure. My husband does. He's a certified high-performance coach. And he's not just showing up to every session saying like, hey, what would you love to talk about? Give me an update. Like, are we really going to make much progress doing that? Probably not. So with one-on-one coaching, your clients really do have this kind of customized direct access to your brain, your experience, and your intelligence. When you are working with a group of people, you cannot allow your clients to rely on your brain and having access to it whenever and however they want in order for them to get results. And that right there is what actually causes a lot of coaches to get very burned out and to eventually decide this is not the business model for me because this is way too much. Their clients end up getting upset with them. Not enough clients are achieving results. They have low retention. They probably don't have a referral system in place. And it just sort of seems like, why am I doing this? I thought this was going to be less work for me when I transitioned from one-on-one, but it's actually more work. It's more stressful. I'm having to deal with so much more drama. So earlier today, I was chatting back and forth with someone about group coaching who is interested in reigniting their group coaching program. It's not someone who's never done group before. And I want to share some of the things that this person said to me because this is common. This is really common. These are very common concerns that people who are currently running groups or looking to run groups next and scale them, not just run them, but scale them, have. And she said, I'm a bit worried about running groups again as it is getting out of hand. And so I said, cool. I'll invite you to the next workshop. And she said, this is why I'd rather sell courses and just not have people really relying on me at all inside of a group coaching program for them to get results. And I said, well, what part gets out of hand for you? Is it the marketing and selling of the group coaching program or the running of the group? And she said delivery. It's the delivery, running the group. The calls overrun, stories, people don't take action. I feel drained. Then I responded to that. She goes, I also worry about the container not being long enough to get the client's results. I have had mixed results. Some get on with it and get results. Others don't. I'm exhausted, to be honest. Brink of quitting due to some other things that are going on. And then I was talking to her about not overpromising. There's ways that you can make sure that doesn't happen. And her response was, this is my issue. Not overpromising, but over delivering and feeling bad if they don't take action or get results. And I end up with needy clients who need their noses wiping because I enabled that. I wanted to pivot and stop with one-to-one and do groups, but courses with a community-led Q&A appeals more as I can just reply and as I want, when I can in the day and don't need to be suited and booted for the calls. So again, it's really common things that we see with group coaches. So I wanted to share just, you know, four, five, six different types of frameworks that you can implement inside of your group coaching so that you aren't cultivating this community and environment of clients who are super needy. So that you aren't being drained, so that you aren't literally bending over backwards or allowing your boundaries to be crossed by your clients. In fact, I've been working with a client for quite some time, over a year. And for the last 5-6 months, we've really reshaped her $1.5 million group coaching program. Has about 54 clients inside the group. And she's not new to group coaching. She's been doing it since 2017. Different size groups though. So this is probably the largest group that she's had in a single program. And the investment level for this is $30,000. There is zero one-on-one access to her at that price point. So she's not doing any type of one-on-one coaching. There are no coaches inside the program where clients get one-on-one coaching, right? So I want to make that really, really clear. So one of the first things that we restructured for that program, because she was feeling exhausted, overwhelmed. Do I really want to keep doing this? Is this the right model for me? You know, there was a lot of fear around having more than like 40 people inside the program. But if you don't let more people in the program, if you want to make more money, then you just have to keep raising your prices. And at some point, you're going to kind of price yourself out. So the very first thing we tackled was the onboarding process. There really wasn't much of one at first. You know, I think everybody has a kickoff call and it's the first scheduled call in the program. That does not equal an onboarding process. Onboarding really needs to be an entire process that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. The onboarding process begins during the sales call. So as soon as someone joins during that sales call, that is when you shift into onboarding. Onboarding will not end until your client has technically reached their first success milestone or their first result, which is why you really want your clients meeting that first milestone in the initial 30 days of the program. So your client really has to adopt your way, your methodology, your way of doing things, and then put it into action and get that initial result. They're not really done with the onboarding until that point. So we put together a very robust onboarding because it's a $30,000 price point. There was a group onboarding call to really kick it off. But prior to that, in fact, like a couple of weeks prior to that, each new client had a one-on-one onboarding call with their client concierge. So that onboarding call, there was also a whole entire slide deck or visual presentation that walked them through every single step of the onboarding process. And that was just one element that we included into the onboarding process. There were also other bits and pieces of communication as well. There was a very robust intake form that we just edited a bit so that we were making sure we were collecting the right information about each one of those clients. So onboarding process, really and truly your onboarding process is the make or break to client success inside your program. It sets the tone. It's kicking off the entire experience. And it's important for us to recognize as group coaching facilitators that our clients, as soon as they make a purchase and as soon as they're in the program, they are developing a new and different relationship with you. Now they are your client. Before, they were your lead. They were your prospect. They were just a member of your free community, whether it was your social media community, your podcast community, your free text community. And that was one kind of relationship. There was a lot of distance between you and that person, and now there isn't. So they are all over again. They are assessing you, evaluating you, judging you and your program and your team, your communication, everything. And somewhere between day 0 and 90 of your program, they are already making the decision if they are going to renew or not when their contract is up. It happens that quick. People are not waiting until their contract is up to make that decision. When you talk to them, it may sound like they are waiting that long to make the decision, but they're not. They're coming to that call, or they're coming to that renewal email like already knowing. I mean, I'm telling you, they know by the time you get to about 90 days in. So if you aren't figuring out who's going to renew and who's not that early, if you can't really put your finger on it, then your retention rate is probably going to be lower than what you expected. So onboarding process is number one. Number two, we put a client progress and tracking system in place. This was something that was non-existent prior to me working with this particular client and her program. So your client progress and tracking system, there isn't a one size fits all. You need to have one though. So you may have a progress check-in system where your clients are submitting a progress report every single week at the end of the week. It could be bi-weekly, which is every other week, so two times a month. I don't think once a month is enough. I would say at the minimum, it needs to be every other week. And for this particular client, there's a progress check-in every other week. Now, you might be thinking, well, some people are really going to like that, and some clients are not going to like that. So how do I get them all on board? In this program, there is also a client concierge. So that's the third point that I also want to make here. You definitely need to have, if you've got, I'd say more than 20 to 25 clients, you need to have another person, another team member in there who's supporting you with a lot of the details and with client support and community management. So make sure we call this person in this particular business a client concierge. So the client concierge's job is to monitor how many people and who are filling out the forms and not filling out the forms. And the very first time you do not fill out the progress check-in forms, you are going to get contacted by the client concierge. You're going to get reminded. So we actually have multiple reminders in place. I think like 4, 5, maybe even 6 different ways that we're reminding people when it's time for them to submit their progress report. And then we have an entire process of giving our clients, this client's feedback on those reports. And there's a whole process to get people to complete them. If your clients are not filling out a progress report, they're not filling out any type of quarterly plan, they're not updating you on their progress, how do you know whether or not they're getting results? How do you know where they're at in terms of their proximity to getting the result that your program is promising them? How do you know what program enhancements you need to make to the program so that more clients are engaging, participating, taking action, and getting results? How do you know what value needs to be added to your program? How do you know where and with whom and how to intervene? It is critical that you have a system in place to track client progress. Again, what we would create for one person's program is going to look different from another person's program, just depending on what it is, what the outcome of the program is, you know, the type of program that it is, what you're asking your clients to do. Ultimately, we want to find out how they're feeling. We want to know what actions they're taking, and we want to know what results they're really achieving. And in this particular program, It has gotten rave reviews from the clients, and they've actually attributed a lot of their success early on in the program to those progress check-ins. Number three, I've already mentioned, so I'm going to go by this one really fast, but you definitely want to have a client concierge in place. This is your right hand inside of the program. Now, this is not necessarily your program director. This is not your client success manager or client success leader. If you don't have a client success department, this is a client concierge. This is the first contact and the first point of contact with your clients. This person is the barrier between you and your client, because you don't want your clients to have access to your cell phone number. You don't want them emailing you directly. You don't want them private messaging you on Facebook, asking you questions and trying to get your customized coaching in those places. Because if you do not have something in place or someone in place, like a client concierge or success coach, who else are they going to call? Who else are they going to connect with? Who else are they going to ask personalized questions to? It's going to be you. And if you don't have that person in place, your reaction is to answer the question, to give them the coaching. And then once you give them the coaching once behind the scenes, it starts happening all the time. Then you feel bad and then you do it. And now by the time you know it, everybody's doing it and your head is spinning and you're already overwhelmed. So that's one of the roles of the client concierge. Also to kick off the calls, to monitor client progress, client engagement, to be the community manager. If you've got a community where all of your clients are gathered, to make sure reminders and emails and texts are going out, to support you on site if you have a retreat or an event associated with the delivery of your program. So the client concierge, it's really the person who's the face of the program inside the program for your clients. All right, next, this is number four. You definitely want to incorporate some degree of either accountability buddies, accountability pods. And if you don't have that in place, when you run calls, you certainly want to have calls that are either putting your clients in breakout rooms so they can gather together in small groups of three or four, five at the most. They are supporting each other, answering questions for each other, masterminding together, just going deeper in conversations on the topics that they are learning about and the actions that they're taking. Clients sometimes really do find more value from your breakout rooms with their peers than they do from the content that is being taught by you and delivered in your curriculum. Not taking anything away from that, but clients are craving connection right now. And the more you can facilitate networking and connection and community, the more likely your clients are to renew when they are up for renewal. So this is another thing that we are instituting inside of this program that I've been mentioning. We didn't actually start with accountability pods, but based on the feedback that we collected, because we have a feedback system as well, we are constantly collecting feedback from clients around a lot of the interactions happening inside the program. One of the pieces of feedback is we want more breakout rooms, and we want to have opportunities to get to know more of the people in the program, because the program is over 50 people. And your clients also really want to find their subgroup. They want to find, like, who's my group of like four or five that I'm really getting to know on a deeper level, that I can pick up the phone and call, that I can strategize with, I can brainstorm with, I can have a sounding board. Like, who is that for each one of your clients? So accountability pods and or accountability buddies and breakout rooms on more of your calls. You can even facilitate networking calls inside of your community as well. So that is number five. And number six, wait, one, two, three, four. That was four. Number five is you want to constantly communicate the reinforcement of action, focus, and simplicity. Think about the reasons why people are joining your group program. Think about that. What any of us are teaching isn't rocket science. And most of what any of us teach, someone could go figure it out on their own. They could read a book. They could go listen to your podcast. They could come to your free workshops. They could download your high value opt-ins. They could go watch your YouTube videos or someone else's. And they can learn the information that you are distributing. But so why are they in the program? They're in the program because they want the framework. They want the total complete system or process. People want plug and play. They do not want to come into your program to figure it out. They're coming into the program because you have it figured out, and they want you to relay that to them in a framework and a format where they do not have to constantly guess or constantly like ask you for, well, I need this information. I need this. I need this. They're also in your program because they want to implement. They want to implement and they want access to you and or your coaching team when things are, especially when things are not working. How do I pivot? What string do I pull here? I'm doing this and this is coming up. So what do I do about it? They also want the community piece. And most of us entrepreneurs also know how easy it is to lack focus and direction, or to lack clarity, or to have so many ideas we don't know which one to do next, or to, you know, try to go in a different direction that doesn't make sense when what we were working on doesn't work as well as we wanted it to, or it stops working. And then we end up making decisions that were probably not in our best interest, right? I did that. When I decided to stop launching my flagship group program and stop selling it, and then eventually just let it phase out, I wasn't working with a coach at the time. I was just making those decisions based on some mindset stuff that was going on that was not leading me in the right direction. Now, looking back on it, do I regret anything? Absolutely not. But I would have been in a very different situation and position had I been working with a coach who was able to direct me and guide me and really hold my feet to the fire and help me bring myself like back down to earth about the reality of what was really going on. Because I was making it about something that probably wasn't really going on, because we get into our heads. Think about going to the gym. I went to the gym this morning. Do you think that you are working out extremely, extremely hard all the way to the point of failure when you were at the gym by yourself? The answer is no. None of us are going to do that because we're human. We are wired to give up. We are wired to let ourselves off the hook. We are wired to stop when the pain starts to hurt just a wee bit too much. So you think you can only do 9 reps at the new heavier weights at the gym, but you could probably actually do 15. Because if you had a coach who was telling you to go one more, one more, one more, and you knew that person was there and you trusted them to pick the weight up off of you, if you started to, you know, not really have the strength to get it back on the rack, you know that they're going to assist you. And you're borrowing a lot of their belief. So if they believe you can do it, you're like, oh, wait, maybe I can do one more. Maybe I can do one more. Oh, wait, it's working. Let me do one more. Most of us are not going to do that by ourselves. I'm not going to do that by myself. I have a tennis coach. I'm not going to work as hard on the court if I just take my daughter out there and have her do drills with me. I'm not going to work that hard if I'm just out there by myself, drop hitting balls. I'm not going to run sprints on the lines by myself. She's going to make me do that, right? So that's exactly why your clients are there. So it's our job as a group program leader and facilitator to constantly reinforce action, focus, and simplicity. Now, oftentimes coaches will tell me, well, I tell them that during onboarding. I tell them that on the kickoff call. They just don't listen. And my question to that is always, are you reminding them of that on every single call? Are you reminding them of that by going live inside the Facebook group? Are you reminding them of that in text messages and emails that you're sending to the group? Because if you're not, they forgot about it on day one. And so you want to make sure you are identifying what needs to be repeated and reinforced, what 3 to 5 things need to be repeated and reinforced inside your program over and over and over again, to the point where you think you must be working with a group of kindergartners who don't get it, because that is what it takes with adults. It really does. And then the last thing I will share here, this is number 6, is you must have a framework for your calls. When you are hosting group calls, now, you may not run every single one of them the exact same way. That's totally fine. There's so many different frameworks and ways to run a call, but you need to run them based on a framework. Why? Well, number one, that is facilitation. That is you being very prepared. That is you knowing exactly what's required that is going to help your clients get the results that your program is promising. This is also what's required if you ever want other coaches on your team to take over calls for you. If you have no framework and it's just you show up and people can ask whatever question they want to ask, and you are answering the question and doing the coaching based on the information that is sitting in your mind. We might call that like your magic. Your magic is what's in your brain. If that's how you run your calls, and every single call, that's what the expectation is of your clients, and the only way your clients are getting results is if they have access to your mind and only your mind, and it's not documented anywhere, it's not in the curriculum very well spelled out into a nice system and methodology or framework, if you are not training any other team member to properly run a call that yields clients knowing what to do next and it yields clients getting results, then you're never going to be able to pull yourself out. Well, how do we do that? Because there's a lot of fear around, well, there's a lot of fear from coaches running group coaching calls. And their fear is, well, what if I can't get to everybody? What if I can't answer everybody's questions? That's a big one. And that'll stop you from being able to scale your group. Clients can get just as great results at scale as they can if working with you one-on-one. And so what a lot of coaches will do is they are like, well, I can only have like 6 to 8 people in my program because then I can't get to everybody. Not everybody can talk equally. I was in a program, about 1.5 years ago. There were 25 of us in the program and we had one call a week for 90 minutes. I never got coached on a single call. Never. I never raised my hand to be in the lineup for hot seat coaching ever. Now, what the coach did, and look, the calls were split in half. So 45 minutes was teaching and we were taking notes, and 45 minutes was Q&A and coaching. 25 people. So not all 25 people are going to get a full coaching segment, you know, in 45 minutes. So let's say 7 or 8 people did. And then we've got 15 to 18 other people on the call. At the very end of the call, what this particular coach would do is she would go around to every single person who didn't talk or get coached, and she would ask us to share maybe our biggest takeaway from the call. Or she would ask us to share the biggest aha that we got, or like, what are we now more aware of? It was a mindset program. She might ask, like, what is your big focus or action step for the week? And we would unmute ourselves and we would share. Clients get so much just from hearing themselves share the answer to a single question that takes them 10 seconds to answer. So not all the value comes from your client getting coached by you live on the group call. That's why you want to diversify the modalities and the methods that you're using when you facilitate your group program. It's not just calls. It's not just a portal with curriculum. There are so many things that you could be doing to facilitate learning, education, and action taking and connection inside of that program so that it is manageable. And it is not only manageable, but it is scalable without diminishing client results. Does that take a little bit of work? Does that take you developing some new skills? Does that take you having to have an open mind? Yeah, absolutely. It certainly does. But it is so doable. It is so fruitful, fulfilling, and satisfying when you allow yourself to really walk over that bridge. So if you are someone who is crushing it with your clients are getting incredible results, but your model is not scalable, then I want to invite you to register for our upcoming Group Coaching Mastery Workshop Series. It is totally free. It runs April 29th through May the 3rd. That's 5 days. We meet at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time each day for about an hour, sometimes a little bit more. You'll get all the replays. They'll be up until the end of the workshop because this is free, so you don't have those indefinitely. So if your schedule doesn't work out, then make sure you schedule time to catch those replays, and we give you a lot of opportunity to catch the replays. We will also have 4 days of bonus content. So May the 4th through May the 7th, we will also have bonus content. So 9 full days of teaching you a scalable model for the marketing, the sales, and the delivery of your group coaching program so that you can have more free time. You can execute a group coaching program that is stress-free and drama-free. You can begin when it makes sense for you to remove yourself from a lot of the ground level work inside of a group to make it function on the back end, but also the client delivery. That takes a little bit of time, just depending on where you're at. And we really want you to make a bigger impact. We want you to realize your full potential and what's possible for you. And we also want you to have a lot more free time to do the things that you desire to do. And if you're someone who is also wanting to invest and use your money to invest and to move in the direction of creating generational wealth for yourself and to also give, more of your finances away to causes that are very meaningful for you, it's going to require that you have a model that allows you to expand your territory and to scale and to stabilize your monthly recurring revenue to the tune of many multiples of five figures a month, even six figures a month. So the link is in the show notes. Make sure you go get registered for Group Coaching Mastery. If you have no intentions of running a group, if group is not your thing, this is not the workshop for you. But if your clients are crushing it and you've got a methodology that's proven to yield client results and you're transitioning into the group model and you're adding it to your existing business model, it's great for you. Or if you have tried groups in the past, maybe you have a group right now and there's some fear around growing it larger and really scaling, or you haven't really cracked the code on, you know, how do I get more than six people to join my group program? How do I get beyond like 10 or 15 people? I just feel like I'm like pulling teeth to get people to buy. And I'm really afraid that, you know, the quality of the program is going to diminish and go down if I double my numbers inside my group. This is also really perfect for you because we're going to cover the marketing, the sales, and the client delivery at so that you're delivering at a world-class level. So make sure you join us. That link is in the show notes. And until next time, remember to design a business and life that is built to last. Thank you so much for tuning into the Built to Last show. If you're loving the show and have gotten any value out of it for your business and life, would you mind doing two things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Our listener reviews helps us get more visibility and reach more people just like you. Help us make a difference for more entrepreneurs by helping them grow their businesses in a way that aligns with their life, family, and core values. Thank you so much for being part of our community and tuning into the show each week.